Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Fratello Talks. I'm your host, Nacho, and this week I'm joined on location by my colleagues,
Dan
and
Lex.
And we have a special episode today. We just saw a lot of new watches.
Yes.
We're wearing some of those new watches,
yes,
actually. And we're going to be going through some of these novelties that have been shown to us by Swatch Group brands. And but before we do that, let's, of course, start with a wrist check. Lex, what is that on your wrist?
I have no clue. It's a Certina. It's a DS Action. It's a GMT watch.
Mm-hmm. Flyer GMT.
It's a Flyer GMT.
Very
and
nice.
Let me just quickly check the price for you before we get into it. So here it is. It is the DS Action GMT Powermatic 80. It's a 41 millimeter watch. And the price of this, I think, quite stunning watch is €1,170. You get, as you said, a Flyer GMT for that money.
Fantastic.
A two-tone
Flyer GMT,
yeah,
which is PVD gold. And we had seen a version of this with a black and green colorway,
yes,
on the bracelet. We also saw another colorway which had a sunburst blue.
Yeah, that was a
with
Pepsi,
a kind of bezel configuration. But
Pepsi
this was
Max.
The standout for you, this sort of root
beer
also, adjacent.
Yeah, exactly. So it has distinct root beer vibes. I also kind of like it that this is on a brown strap, a leather strap.
Yeah, and with a regular pin buckle.
Yes.
Which is nice.
No frills. It's just, for a Flyer GMT.
200 meters,
exactly.
Stainless steel, Powermatic 80 movement probably.
Yeah,
with some
yeah,
sort
yeah,
of,
yeah,
well,
yeah, yeah.
You have the, do you have the movement? Do you know what it is?
It's a Powermatic 80.
It's a Powermatic 80, but with the added
it's a nice,
GMT functionality.
It's a sapphire glass bezel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not ceramic, it's sapphire glass, which gives it a little bit of a shiny touch.
Very nice.
It's, I'm
very impressive, for
very
sure.
Fond
really
of this
nice.
One.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Perfect. And Dan, what is on your wrist? Also something new.
I am wearing something new as well, indeed. It's the Tissot C-Star in 40 millimeters.
This famous one, name.
This,
famous name.
Exactly. And this one is black DLC coated.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it PVD? Is it DLC?
I think
PVD.
Yeah.
PVD, sorry.
Yeah.
And it has a blue...
One or the other.
Blue fumé and also brushed dial. But, especially the size surprised
me. Yeah, it's a great
really
size.
Nice.
40 millimeter.
It's on a black Tropic strap.
It's a mix of retro and new.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's
For those who will ask, it's around 12.8 millimeters thick and 46 millimeters lug to lug.
Yes.
But that's measured with a plastic tool, right?
It's measured with a caliper.
a plastic caliper. So
yes.
You could
dubious
be
origin.
A tenth of a millimeter
it's
to the left or the right.
But just, people always ask.
But
it's good to give them those
and
dimensions.
What I do know is that it costs €795.
Wow. Yeah, that's
and that's actually a very good price for
that's
for
really
a watch
bad.
That is this good.
That's a very nice summer
nice.
Watch, I would say.
Yep. It has
look
a mineral crystal inlay, bezel inlay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe this is also mineral crystal instead of
sapphire.
No, it's sapphire. Because Certina does sapphire and...
Yeah, as part of their...
Tissot has a mineral crystal in the bezel, but a sapphire crystal up top. And also on the bottom.
Right.
To see the... But yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, very, very cool. Also available in a steel version.
Yes.
On the bracelet.
With the black dial.
Yeah, a couple of other colorways.
Yeah.
Very nice. And I'm wearing something a little bit less new, which is the Hamilton Khaki Aviation. I believe this is the 42 millimeter model. And I just like that khaki green dial. And it's cool. It brings the size a little bit down. I believe that their previous khaki aviation models were a lot bigger, scratching 46 millimeters. And then this, I have to say, 42 for a pilot's watch. I thought looking at it off my wrist, it's a little big. But actually, I have to say, on the wrist, it's not bad at all.
It's
fairly slim, also Powermatic 80, but with a day date on the dial, which is quite nice. And
I really like is the indexes on the quarters.
Yeah,
they're not applied, but they're also not Well, they're printed, I think, with luminous material.
Yeah.
But they're also etched, so it looks like they're like inlays in the
exactly,
the dial.
Yeah, they're like really a little bit deeper into the dial, and they cut into the rehaut.
Exactly.
As well, which is nice. It's a nice touch. Lots of nice touches. This also has the Tissot that you're wearing also has a really nice rehaut. It has a bit of a, like a scalloped, a
curved,
scalloped kind of vibe, and it the indexes also.
Yeah, they purge into the the
peek into it. Very nice. So we had a look at a lot of watches today. We saw a lot of new launches. By the time people are listening to this, they should know that, of course, all the embargoes will have lifted for these watches. We will launch this as soon as the last of the embargoes is up. So some of them will no longer be new by the time this comes out, but most of these will be still relatively fresh in our memories. So what should we start with? Should we start from what we first saw? We saw a brand that I think we're none of our readers and perhaps some of our readers will be familiar with, but that we were not overly familiar with, which was Balmain.
Yeah. Well, I would like to start talking about Balmain watches with a little bit of an anecdote from a very, very long time ago.
Go right ahead.
When I was still in high school, I was slightly in love with a classmate of mine. But I was not actually in love with the classmate, but I was more in love with the way she smelled. And the perfume she wore that I was in love with was Ivoire de Balmain. So Balmain always will have a special place in my heart.
It sparks happy memories.
It sparks, definitely sparks happy memories. And with that in mind, I stepped into the room filled with the Balmain watches. And I didn't smell. The Ivoire.
No, okay. But there's no smell.
But I learned that they have 65 points of sale in the Netherlands.
Yes, perfect. Yeah. And and a new addition to the collection of stone dialed watches.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah,
the stone dialed watches were cool.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they had a malachite. I think there's no precious metal at this price point. I think the point of the brand, right? It's
400 to 800 euros.
Exactly. Yeah, and to offer Swiss made quartz watches mainly for the ladies out there. Yeah,
people with a female taste.
But they also have a men's collection. And hey, in the end, anybody can wear whatever they want.
And especially the rectangular ones can also be for men.
Absolutely. The one with the moon face.
The moon face was really nice.
Absolutely.
I didn't quite get the name of that watch.
Me neither.
No. But we will look that up.
Exactly. We'll put it up on the screen.
Yeah, we'll put that up on the screen.
Looking at it now.
No.
It was certainly an interesting brand to have a look at, and obviously offering something quite in that sort of high value segment.
We were not allowed to call them fashion watches because they're Swiss made watches, but of course, and they're also not the same brand anymore as Balmain, the Haute Couture house.
Correct. Yeah.
But still, there is. Of course, hey, if you have the name Balmain, you will still have a little bit of that link.
And
if you look at the collection, there is this fashion vibe.
Yeah. And some callbacks to the fashion.
Yeah, exactly. Brand, right? Yeah. So,
we saw some signed clasps.
It was a nice start of the day, I have to say.
For sure.
Pierre Balmain's name is still on the back of the case.
Absolutely. So an interesting brand. And then we swiftly moved on to
Rado.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Rado was, as always, quite impressive.
That's the whole thing with Rado, I think. If you talk to people from Rado and they start talking about the way that the ceramic cases are being made, then it is impressive.
For sure.
It's
especially when we saw like how the cases are
being
made.
Don't we have that? We have that.
Yeah, we have that.
We can show that
back here. Well, we'll have it up on the screen so as not to float around too much. But it's very impressive. You were there.
I was at Comadour in Le Locklis where they make the cases, and it's one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen. How they come from a powder to an almost indestructible, unscratchable watch case.
Absolutely. They don't just make them for Rado.
No. They make them. They make them from Omega. They make for a whole bunch of sports group brands. And what I think is important is because people need to know. Watch geeks need to know how technical these cases are and how impressive it is what they do in there.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating stuff.
The fact that the case's shape is extruded at I don't know how many times the size.
Five times the size.
And then it's compressed down.
It shrinks in the oven.
And you have to obviously maintain then the dimensions necessary for the movement to fit in, for the pushers to fit in, for the crown to fit. Yeah. It's truly it's completely nuts.
And then of course if you see these you have these Rados, they are ceramic but they have this metallic shine. Yeah. They look like they're made of metal, and then you put the ceramic case, you put it in a plasma oven, and then you heat it up to a temperature hotter than the sun, and then they come out looking like a metal. It's extremely durable.
Yeah.
It's extremely durable
and scratch resistant. Yeah, it's very impressive.
Of course, you have to like the design. That's always a matter of taste. What did we think of the Anatom?
I liked it really actually.
Cool. Super cool. Okay. I was laughing a little bit because I was thinking about putting a bioceramic swatch into an air fryer. And then it gives you.
And then it looks like a moonwatch. Yeah.
Don't try this at home. Don't try this at home.
Is there anyone in the room? I think I've seen someone with a moon swatch somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You put it in the air fryer and it comes out looking like chrome.
But watch out because you need a different air fryer for each color.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly. Also what we learned, that they have all these different ovens for different colors. Yes. It's insane.
Yeah. It's really, really cool.
Yeah. So they have cool like stuff. 17 different ovens for 17 different colors.
Yeah, for sure. And then the Anatom, which is truly a cool watch.
Yeah.
It's extremely well-fitting on the wrist. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice size.
That was my biggest surprise, actually, because it looks like quite a chunky and it's a rectangular watch, so you expect it to fit quite large.
It looks like a 90s
large.
Watch. I have almost, a strong, yeah. strong but, 90s, early 2000 vibes.
Especially with the colors. The faded...
Yeah, but I have to say that the blue and black version was... I think the blue was my favorite.
A green and there was a sort of orange-reddish version.
So the watch is actually black.
Yeah,
and then the dial is
we have some
comes
pictures,
on,
right?
on a rubber strap. We have a couple pictures of that people will be seeing on the screen for those watching on YouTube. Very, very impressive, and very, very, very cool.
And
watch.
What I really liked was the clasp as well, because they have a folding clasp, and there was a micro adjustment in the clasp that moves with your wrist. So pretty.
They had some really cool details.
Yeah. And I think that one is on sale for $37.50.
I didn't write the
think
price
$37.50.
No, but it's around that. It's under 4K. And then what you were saying, Lex, was that it's truly impressive to have that kind of technology, that kind of case for that price. When if you go looking for that in an Omega, then you're looking at least 20,000.
If you're looking for a new blow, it's even double that price.
Exactly.
If you're going to look for an IWC, it's
absolutely the Ceritanium watches. I mean, it's,
what Rado does with their ceramics is just astonishing.
Very impressive. Very impressive stuff. And then so from Rado, we moved on to
Tissot.
And for Tissot, we saw some things that we can't talk about, but exciting things to come throughout the summer. We won't say any more, but fans of the PRX will be pleased.
Definitely.
I believe that's as much as we can say. But
no, we
couldn't
have,
we mention
but there
one?
Will be one PRX mention that we can one, talk right? about, no, which is a lovely mint green dial color, mint green turquoise.
Stephanie Dial.
Shout out to Studio Underdog for Stephanie Blue, Stephanie Green. That's nice in the automatic 40 millimeter size.
Yeah,
very very cool summery color.
Definitely
to compete there with the ice blue a little bit for that sort of summer splash of color.
Yeah.
And then we can also then, obviously, as we saw on your wrist, we can talk about this new Sea Star.
Yeah. So it, once again, it's 40 millimeters.
Yeah.
And it has a Powermatic 80 movement inside.
Yeah. Just has, 12 point something thick.
Yeah.
46 lug to lug. I mean.
Applied indexes, loom in the indexes and on the hands, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels really good on the wrist. Yeah, especially
I think I like the most standard version more, And now I see that on your wrist, and I think this is probably nicer, yeah, more standout, yeah, more original.
So the thing is, they all have a bit of a texture on the dial.
Yeah.
So we have some pictures of them that Morgan took earlier this year. There's a bit of a texture, and then this has obviously a blue sort of Fume dial, vignette dial, and then the black one with a steel case
has a little bit more straightforward,
like an anthracite, yeah, but kind of also a Fume dial.
But more tool watchy. This is a little bit more.
Yeah. This reminds me of a Zodiac that came out either last year or the year before that had a ceramic case.
Yeah.
And it was a similar colorway. But obviously, the standard one, it comes on the bracelet as well, which is really, really nice.
Yeah.
For the sub 1,000 euro price point, this is.
No, and also it has like details on the
side.
Yeah,
there's lots of detail.
It's a bit like the Holt Henrix, the 3D printed cases with that sort
of.
Yeah, it's almost like skeletonized lugs, but it's
not. What I really like is that it's not very cutting corners type of a case. Like you don't see the
it's far from standard, right?
Yeah,
it's,
you don't see the Excel sheet. Where can we save some money? It's just a very nicely made design.
No, especially when you compare it at this price to other watches.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And worth mentioning that before. Only available at 43 millimeters at the smallest size, right? So coming down to 40, I mean, that's sweet spot size. 40, 12 point something tall, 12.8 tall, and then 46 lug to lug. I mean,
yeah, the 46 lug to lug makes it wear really, really
for sure.
It's very compact and very...
Yeah, very impressive. There were also some MotoGP watches for this year. This year, I believe, is the 75th anniversary of MotoGP.
Who's going to be world champion this year, according to you? What do you think?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm a little bit out of touch. I'm always rooting for the Spaniards. So
I don't Jorge Martin.
I don't know if Maverick Viñales is still racing.
Yeah, he's still. He had a very disappointing weekend. Anyway, yeah, I watched the opening race. I think it's going to be Pecco Bagnaia again. But
We'll talk about it more. So those will you will have most likely seen on the website already as well at this point.
And there was the Chrono.
Yeah. The PR156. With the AO5. What is it? A05. Well, the Valjoux hand wound. It had the right thickness for an automatic.
Yes,
you said
it's a really good looking watch. It's a good looking chronograph. It's just below 2,000 euros at 1,975. There's not a lot wrong with it. The colorway is nice. It has this nice retro vibe. It still looks very original. Yes, you could say there's a little bit of a Tudor thingy, but then all chronographs have something in common with others.
Sure.
We'll talk about the Hamiltona later.
Exactly. I just like that they made what's clearly sort of like an enthusiast version of the product beside the quartz.
Yeah, because you can get the quartz.
SKUs, and then you obviously have this hand-winding version that's a little bit more true to the original, a little bit bigger, but still within the what we see today for mechanical chronographs.
And there's no date, so that's easy. So if you don't wear it and it runs out of power, it's fine because you don't have to set the date. So it's also kind of an easy going thing. Yeah. It's nice to look at the movement if you want that.
Yeah.
There's not a lot wrong with that.
No, definitely
with that chronograph.
Yeah.
It's a bit on the bulky side, but it's not as bulky as their automatics
these days. No. Yeah, that's true. And then we moved on to Certina.
We did.
Yes. Ah. And Certina, for you, it was a love at first sight at the Certina booth.
Yeah, it was nice. I always kind of I remember when I was kind of surprised with that tiny titanium
DS Action Diver 38 millimeters titanium. Yeah. I think we all fell for that one
was
a little
just,
bit.
Just stunning.
Yeah. For the price as well.
Good price, good looks, great on the wrist. And I have to say that with the GMT, I saw the black and green version. It was on a bracelet, and it was quite hefty. It was a little bit too much steel. But now, when lighter, I see this one with this little gold-colored touches, I think this is a an astonishing product.
Yeah,
it's also technically spot on because, let's be honest, everybody wants a flyer. You don't want an office GMT. Come on.
Caller. You don't want to be calling. You want to be flying.
You want to be exactly.
Come on.
That's the whole thing. And I think this is amazing.
For sure. I mean, both usable complications and useful complications. Even though we've debated that on the podcast before, but you definitely want a flyer. And for the price and for what you get, looking at all the specs, I mean, it's truly hard to find something in the market today that that compares with it. Even though in aesthetics,
I didn't get the luck to look.
I have the luck to look, but in aesthetics, because obviously here we're looking at everything in Swatch Group below Longines.
Yeah,
and so this is obviously that. Just to address the elephant in the room, before I give you that luck to lug, it looks a bit like the Spirit, right?
Yeah, it does.
But it even. We always thought that the Spirit had a little bit of a busy dial with the five stars,
exactly,
and these like just the dual tiered dial and everything. And this kind of does away with it all and creates this very like simple take. Obviously, then the gold here is PVD; it's not solid gold.
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, for the price, it's less than half.
It looks the part.
What the Longines cost, and and the specs are there, right?
Absolutely. What is interesting is now, of course, there's also the. With the flyer GMT movement that they now have within the Swatch Group because of ETA, of course, is that you can also get a Mido with this movement.
True.
So now you can see more and more Swatch Group GMT watches with the updated movement.
True.
And
Mido wasn't here.
No.
Mido didn't make it.
No.
Flight got cancelled. So this is 41
KLM
millimeters.
KLM never disappointed.
KLM. Oh, man. 13.8 millimeters thick.
Yeah.
Which is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, that
20 millimeter lugs,
yes.
Which is nice, and a lug to lug of 49, which is
quite long.
It's a little bit.
It's a good thing I have such massive wrists.
Enormous, famously.
I wouldn't say so though.
Yeah, no, but it is quite like long. But it doesn't look crazy.
It was
long.
Measured with my extremely
plastic
cheap
calipers.
Travel caliper, so it might be somewhere, just give or take fraction of a millimeter.
That's good.
Yeah,
we also saw the DS1 Day-Date, a 40-millimeter dress watch. That's, by the way, that with a 20-millimeter lug as well. 47-millimeter lug-to-lug. That's one I noted. At 860 euros, you get this very classic-looking watch.
I liked the one that had the sort of, because it's a Day-Date in that sort of 12 and 3 configuration. I like the one that had a sort of whitish silver dial with almost like a golden half circle or
inlay or
a classic.
Really
step
really nice.
In a dial.
For sure.
Yeah.
Could be needed at a slightly smaller size point. But
would
who knows?
Be a good
maybe,
idea.
Maybe we'll see it sometime in the future. Who knows? Perfect. So that was that'll do for Certina. I think we also had other watches coming in the future, different takes on watches we've already seen. It was also nice to see not to talk about the specifics of this one because I do believe it'll be under embargo.
We got to see the
DS1000 in person. That was one that came out late last year, I believe, in this limited edition orange callback to the past, and seeing that in person was really, really nice. The form factor of that one is excellent. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
Perfect. And after Certina.
That was the
Hamilton.
That was the
And in Hamilton, we also saw a few things that we won't mention because they come out in the future.
I saw Elvis.
You saw Elvis? Saw Elvis. Elvis was already launched many years ago. It was discontinued, but now has made a comeback with his blue suede shoes. Which was very, very cool. We saw obviously the Dune. Watches that were featured on the website, but always cool to see those in person. The two digital, they're also Ventura models,
aren't they?
Technically,
yeah. There was a sign saying Ventura.
Yeah, so they're Ventura models. One of them with the digital display, which is LCD and LED. I believe, and you click the button, it lights
up. It's really
up.
Nice. Impressive. When it lights up, you have the skeletonized numerals. Yeah. It's really, really cool.
And obviously, they're based on, you probably have seen it more if you've seen Dune 1, this shield.
Yeah.
This doohickey device, something or other, that that the characters have, which protects them. And that was designed for the movie. And then these watches are inspired by this gizmo.
Gizmo.
And but, then yeah, of course, we saw the khaki aviation models, which had also been released earlier this year in, I believe, two different sizes.
Yeah, 40.
42, I believe this
and
is.
38.
Maybe three different sizes or just two different sizes.
I think two.
Maybe just two. No, there was a smaller one.
Oh, a 34 one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. But yeah, these are great.
The white one.
Oh, the silvery.
No, yeah. Those ones were all 38. And there was a gold PVD coated one.
Yeah.
Which was
bronze, but was gold PVD with a sort of a bluish blue dial and a sort of a pale pink strap.
But those look nice.
Yeah. Very, very cool. And more from that line coming up later this year with an exciting collaboration, but lips are sealed for now.
Yeah.
And then we got to see something from the Jazzmaster collection, which I believe will be the most recently released models that we'll talk about. And I believe these were they were 34 millimeter sort of lady / unisex models.
I really like
the bracelet.
I like the look of those.
Yeah, they were cool. They had a bit of an OP kind of thing, but then
very OP
extra details on the bezel, which was nice. And
they said good colors, but they said they struggled or had a hard time reaching for the lady because they're more of a male orientated brand. But I thought those watches almost like a no nonsense kind of.
Yeah,
stylish, sophisticated, sporty ladies' watch. I really like the look of those.
And then, obviously, as with just about everything we saw today, powered by the workhorse that is the Powermatic 80.
But that's good.
Which
right?
might be the H10 in the Hamilton universe. But it's it's a great movement. You know, just 80 hours of power reserve, automatic winding, super serviceable.
Yes, exactly. I think it's one of the USPs of these of the Swatch Group brands we've seen here is that you get just really good movement.
Yeah. And they don't call it in-house themselves, but they own the brand. So
it's in-group.
In-group.
But
in-group.
I have to say, other than the movement, also the bracelets here look really good.
Yeah.
The bracelets look good. The clasp, especially for Hamilton.
And also on the clasp, the folding clasp on the Rado, you also were very impressed with.
At this price, I think they're really good.
Is that that's probably also the power of the group see?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
They can
get a lot of value within this sort of price point, and it's really, really good stuff. And from Hamilton, we also saw a new take on the chronograph that we saw, I believe, introduced last year in two colors. You said the nickname.
Yeah, heard the nickname. I never heard the nickname, and I think it's a horrible nickname, Hamiltona, but it's horrible.
But it's a good-looking watch.
No, but it's a good-looking watch. No, definitely a good-looking watch. Yeah. I prefer of course, there was there's a version with a... non-black, like a full steel bezel, and
the new light blue dial.
So it does have a little bit of that vintage Daytona vibe, definitely. But it also has the date at 4:30. So there was maybe you can also say, it's like it looks a little bit like the new Zenit Chronomaster Sport in titanium.
Sure.
But this is much friendlier priced, of course.
Yes,
everything we saw today.
The clasp is better than the new Chronomaster Sport.
Right, right.
Really?
No, it's true.
Really better, much better. So come on, incredible.
It's true that the Zenith clasp is a little bit. You have to. Yeah,
well,
it's a bit fiddly.
First of all, you can't open it, and then of course there is there's not even a push button. And this one is you can open it because they have made a little
room for your finger to
wiggle in, and then
for sure.
The build quality is just better, even though that is probably also stamped. And
probably
the one on the Hamilton actually I think is milled.
Oh, okay.
At least it feels very solid.
Yeah, it's
Oh, that's so just the difference from Hamilton from the other brands, because other brands were, I think, all stamped. On the,
yeah.
But the
Hamilton. On the Certina, I was stamped.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So going around the table, what would you say was your highlight?
Yeah, well, I'm wearing it.
It's clearly
No, really.
The Certina DS Action.
Yeah, it's
GMT.
Just, it's it has the looks, it has the price, and the thing is, maybe Certina is not the most catchy name. It's not the biggest name, but the thing is, if you dive into the history of Certina and their double security system and blah blah blah, and it's actually it's a well established Swiss brand, and I think they're doing good stuff
for sure. As we know from Henry's article a few weeks ago, they're the brand that co-signed a mission for a man to ski down Everest.
Yeah, they're lunatics.
Yeah. Or at least in the 70s, they were conducive to the projects of complete.
No, but it's so it's definitely a brand that needs or deserves at least a little bit more attention.
Absolutely,
this one's really nice.
They keep surprising me.
Definitely. Okay. What was the highlight for you,
Dan? Well, actually, it's the C-Star from Tissot, the one I'm wearing as well. Because I've never really looked at this model actually, because it was only available in 43. For me, it was too much. But this looks. I'm not especially a fan of the dials, like the Fume dials.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you get this one with a more normal...
It doesn't even look... I don't think it looks out of place on the...
Not on the black one. But like for the price, the watch fits really well and offers you 300 meters of water resistance as well with 12.5 millimeters thickness. I think it's really well done. Even the date window matches with the dial in the color.
Yeah.
So, I think it's really
good. Agree.
Very nice. Yeah, I have to say, I maybe obviously agreeing with you two guys on these two releases, but I have to say seeing the Hamilton Aviation models again, it was really nice to see them and to try them on. I had seen them earlier or at the end of last year and very quickly had a brief preview, but actually spending a little bit of time with them now, I can say that really good watches. But I was also just impressed by that Rado. I have to say that's on the upper price point here.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that was really impressive. And I was impressed by the Diastar that we saw a while back. But then I have to say this one in ceramic with that very unique sort of futuristic look, it was really good stuff.
Yeah.
But I think all in all, it's been great releases.
Absolutely.
We could talk about. There's some more to come that we haven't been able to discuss today.
And there's some interesting watches in the future, definitely.
And kudos to these brands for obviously keeping the prices at a time where it feels like prices can't do anything but grow. These brands have been doing a great job in sort of keeping everything fair and interesting and affordable for enthusiasts and the wider watch buying public. As a whole. So very, very cool stuff. Fantastic. Well, thank you guys for joining me for this discussion and special on location episode. And thank you for all the Swatch Group brands for showing us all the lovely new watches.
Yes. It
was fantastic. And thank you for tuning in. So as always, make sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment, and tune in next week for another episode of Fratello Talks. See you then.